Believing in the words of his spiritual master, He introduced the Sankirtan movement just as the present Krishna consciousness movement was started with belief in the words of our spiritual master. He wanted to preach, we believe, in his words and tried somehow or other to fulfill them. And now this movement has become successful all over the world. Therefore, faith in the words of the spiritual master and in the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the secret of success. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never disobeyed the orders of his spiritual master and stopped propagating the Sankirtan movement. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami, at the time of his passing away, ordered all his disciples to work conjointly to preach the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. Later, however, some self-interested, foolish disciples disobeyed his orders. Each one of them wanted to become head of the mission, and they fought in the courts, neglecting the order of the spiritual master, and the entire mission was defeated. We are not proud of this. However, the truth must be explained. We believed in the words of our spiritual master and started in a humble way, in a helpless way. But due to the spiritual force of the order of the Supreme Authority, this movement has become a success. It is to be understood that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced, he did so by the influence of the pleasure potency of the spiritual world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never considered the holy name of the Lord to be a material vibration, nor does any pure devotee mistake the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to be a material musical manifestation. Lord Chaitanya never tried to be the master of the holy name. Rather, he taught us how to be servants of the holy name. If one chants the holy name of the Lord just to make a show, not knowing the secret of success, he may increase his bile secretion, but he will never attain perfection in chanting the holy name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented himself in this way. Quote, "I am a great fool and do not have knowledge of right and wrong. In order to understand the real meaning of the Vedanta Sutra, I never followed the explanation of the Shankara Sampradaya or Mayavadi Sannyasis. I am very much afraid of the illogical arguments of the Mayavadi philosophers. Therefore, I think I have no authority regarding the explanations of the Vedanta Sutra. I firmly believe that simply chanting the holy name of the Lord can remove all misconceptions of the material world. I believe that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. In this age of quarrel and disagreement, the chanting of the holy name is the only way to liberation from the material crutches." By chanting the holy name, Lord Chaitanya continued, "I became almost man. However, after inquiring from my spiritual master, I have come to the conclusion that instead of striving for achievement in the four principles of religiosity, dharma, economic development, artha, sense gratification, karma, and liberation, moksha, it is better if somehow or other one develops transcendental love of Godhead. That is the greatest success in life. One who has attained love of Godhead chants and dances by his nature, not caring for the public." Unquote. This stage of life is known as Bhagavad Jivana, or the life of the devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, quote, "I never chanted and danced to make an artificial show. I dance and chant because I firmly believe in the words of my spiritual master. Although the Mayavadi philosophers do not like this chanting and dancing, I nevertheless perform it on the strength of his words. Therefore it is to be concluded that I deserve very little credit for these activities of chanting and dancing, for they are being done automatically by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Unquote. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamaya Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyam Evacha Patitana Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Now these particular verses in relation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his own spiritual master is more elaborated in the purport in relation to Srila Prabhupada and his own spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and the mood and mission of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, or particularly our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is a most important purpose, you know, even for initiating gurus in our movement and their disciples to actually imbibe. In other words, these particular purports by Srila Prabhupada in relation to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and in relation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and following the words and instructions of his spiritual master is the actual Bhagavad Jivana. As Prabhupada says, it is the life of a devotee. Very simple. He says, Bhagavad Jivana is the very life of a devotee in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now, in the development phases of our movement, ISKCON, we found that this Bhagavad Jivana, the life of a devotee, it is super exemplified when Srila Prabhupada was on the planet, and even when I joined in the early 80s, where the membership of the movement was restricted to devotees to be living in the temples only. You were with this way. In other words, we don't have difficulty in chanting our japa. We don't have difficulty in having a morning sadhana program, because you naturally live in the temple, and it's part of that life of living in a temple. We find subsequently in the early 90s and to date that the membership of ISKCON has gradually moved towards more especially congregation where devotees have regular jobs and they have families to take care of and so forth. So therefore they may not have much time in actually being that preacher that Prabhupada very much wants in this particular purport in relation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions from his guru, Śrīla Īśvara Puni, and in relation to the instructions of Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to Śrīla Prabhupada was manifested in the form of the mood and mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. As much as we want to glorify Śrīla Prabhupada in relation to the compassion of Śrī Chaitanya Mahāprabhu manifested in the form of Śrīla Prabhupada, we also want to take that into our very lives and manifest that same compassion and mode and mission of the discipline succession to the people of the world who are most unfortunate because they are not yet in Krishna consciousness. Now there are reasons why people in the world are still struggling not to be introduced to Krishna consciousness. Because devotees, ourselves, we are struggling with our own Krishna consciousness. It's a fact. So if you are struggling with your own Krishna consciousness, how can you have the potential to give others Krishna consciousness to become devotees? Yet Prabhupada says, this is Bhagavad Jiva, it is the life of a devotee. Right? So we will sort of discuss in relation to Śrīla Prabhupada first, and then discuss in relation to ourselves of how Śrīla Prabhupada wants us to, you know, imbibe his actual heart in terms of a jivadaya, compassion for every living entity. But especially we have to revoke compassion in our own hearts by taking seriously and the order of the spiritual master. We're not talking about the order of the spiritual master in relation to the initiated gurus. We're talking about the order of the spiritual master in relation to Śrīla Prabhupada, which is imbibed in the order, should be imbibed in the order of the initiated gurus to their respective disciples. Not only for now, second generation. It's for generations to come. We may not even be on this planet, but for generations to come in the next 10,000 years. Otherwise, the mood and mission of Śrīla Prabhupāda can be minimized and diminished and gone into oblivion in that sense. So it's a very important aspect for us. Śrīla Prabhupāda himself said something about himself. And he usually does not speak about himself in this way. It was in the intimacy of some, you could say, leading disciples. So Śrīla Prabhupāda said that for centuries, Krishna was kept locked up in a black box. In other words, although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nobody knew him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore in that sense, like you could say, allegorically, he's kept in a black box. Not that you take Krishna and put him in an actual black box and lock him up and keep him aside. So the persons who kept Krishna locked up in a black box are the demigod worshippers, are the atheists, are the impersonalists, especially the Mayavadis, and the sex enjoyers. Sense enjoyers. Those who are, you can could stay materialistic, completely materialistic. And that's it. So Srila Prabhupada cut through all those persons, put screens to actually close Krishna and not expose Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Srila Prabhupada said that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave him the key. That means he gave him the instructions. And he took that key and he opened this box and he took Krishna and he lifted Krishna very high. And he proclaimed to the world, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, it is true that you did this, but how? How is it that you did it? And it is true that Srila Prabhupada is the only one who did it. We are just, accepting this Mahaprasada carrying on. Not that we can become Prabhupada and try to be. Srila Prabhupada said, those who will try to imitate me will fall down. And he definitely did. And even that's going to happen in the future. Those who try to imitate will fall down. So then this disciple, Srila Prabhupada, how did you do that? And Srila Prabhupada said that just like a tulasi sapling. In other words, if you transplant a tulasi sapling, small tulasi, very little plant is coming. You have to do it very, very, very carefully because the sapling is most delicate, very delicate. If any part of the tulasi sapling is damaged in any way, it will immediately die. So Srila Prabhupada said, in the same way, he very carefully transplanted the Vedic culture as it is from India to the rest of the world. And to do that, he said he took great pains to make sure that no part of this culture of Krishna consciousness is damaged or injured in any way. And therefore it could take a root very nicely and grow. And grow in a healthy way. Then Srila Prabhupada mentioned that it's very easy for people to present the Vedic culture. Very easy for people to present the Vedic culture. But it's very difficult for the audience to accept it. We have many great speakers. We have many pundits and scholars and so forth. They can speak. They can speak to big, big audiences. But those big, big audiences of numbers of people, they will just hear the katha and just leave. And when they go back home, they turn on the television. But they were impressed with the speaker. So Srila Prabhupada said that I am not one of them. It's not just I only presented the Vedic culture as it is to the world, but people throughout the world also accepted the Vedic culture as it is. He said, more important is that people accepted it and practiced it. And he said, that is my contribution. That is my contribution. So he himself spoke about this. And Srila Prabhupada. And for one time, Srila Prabhupada was traveling very, very extensively all over the world. At the same time, he was not having much time to do his translation work.
So some of his leading disciples
requested humbly to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada first said, yes, what do you want to say? You know, like in a very grave and firm voice, he said, yes, what do you want to say? So they hesitated. The leaders said, hesitated. So the Srila Prabhupada said, go on, go on, go on. So one of them told Srila Prabhupada, you know, we know you are our spiritual master, and we are not meant to instruct you. And Srila Prabhupada said, don't dare. But still they insisted that we want to tell you something, but not as an instruction, because we are your disciples. Then Srila Prabhupada said that you cannot instruct the spiritual master, but a son can instruct the father. So you are my sons, go ahead. You know, a son can tell the father. See? And you will find in most of Srila Prabhupada's letters, he never writes, my dear disciples. Very rare. But most of it he writes, my dear sons and daughters. So he has that affection. And Srila Prabhupada is more of a father than a guru, than a spiritual master. So then he said to Srila Prabhupada, that you are traveling so vigorously and your health is definitely not good. Please take a
break.
Not a break, but you know, they said, please don't travel, stay in one place, rest. And sort of take a break in that sense. Take a break means do other things, you know, not doing what the mission is. So, you know, stay in one place, take rest, and recover nicely. Your health is important to us. Srila Prabhupada said, yeah, just see how much you love me. You know, out of love. Not instructing me spiritually, out of love. Then after Srila Prabhupada said, yes, I will consider and I'll let you know. So later on in the day, Srila Prabhupada told his secretary to tell him, yes, I will take that rest. Arrange for me. So they arranged for Srila Prabhupada to go to Hawaii from Los Angeles. And in Hawaii, Srila Prabhupada did not really take rest. He took the opportunity to stay up all night and day practically to do his dictation and translation work. And nobody was there to actually see that he's not taking rest, except his personal servant. Because he told them that if you want me to rest and recuperate, nobody should be here. Just my personal servant and maybe one secretary, that's fine. Everyone should not be here. They said, okay. So in the evenings, when the servant, personal servant, used to come and switch off the lights for Srila Prabhupada, and then Srila Prabhupada goes towards his bed to take rest, and then he leaves. As soon as he hears the servant leaves, he comes out of the bed, puts the light on, and starts a dictation, translation. So one night, the light was on the whole night. The whole night the light was on. So the next morning the servant came in and to Srila Prabhupada's room and he said, Srila Prabhupada, I saw that your light was on the whole night. And I did come, you know, to your door and I put my ears to the keyhole and I could hear, you know, you dictating into your dictaphone. gym, click. You know, you click. So you put half an hour, click, click, click. So then the servant told Srila Prabhupada, it seems like you did not take your morning walk for several days. Can we do this morning? In other words, not instructing, but enough care for his health. Srila Prabhupada said, yes, we should go for the walk. So Srila Prabhupada, only with his personal servant, was walking on the beach in Hawaii. And then the servant didn't know what to speak because he didn't know what to say. So he just said that, Srila Prabhupada, that your light was on the whole night and I saw that you were doing more translation than usual, like that. That means you did a lot more translation than usual, than previously. Then Srila Prabhupada, it's like a spontaneously replied, without even any thought, it's just coming from his heart. He said, oh, I could do the translation very, very quickly. Translation is very, very quick. And we know in India, many people know Sanskrit back and forth. They can translate from Sanskrit to English or any language very quickly, a whole book, practically in a couple of weeks. So Srila Prabhupada, oh, I could do the translation very, very quickly. So the disciple was confused. He's thinking, but what's taking you so long? Then Srila Prabhupada said, but it takes time to make it presentable for the common man. And this is his contribution. Not just the translation. He said, but it takes time to make it presentable to the common man. That's how we are able to accept the philosophy and practice Krishna consciousness. Because he had that, super potency to make it understandable for everyone. And you can just feel that if you just read one purport of Srila Prabhupada, even the greatest scholar and even a child who can read can understand it. So anybody, whether you have a high IQ or no IQ at all, or whether you're a little bit literate and others are more literate than others, everyone can actually grasp this purpose of Srila Prabhupada. That's why it took him time to translate. And that is his main contribution to us in this world. Of course, his other main contribution was the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is so nicely given, here, in this particular purport also. Now, in the Namamita program, we discuss what is Krishna Kirtan. And Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna Kirtan is not just coming together and chanting the holy names accompanied by Mridanga and Kirtans. Srila Prabhupada said Krishna Kirtan is hearing Krishna Katha. Krishna Kirtan is preparing prasada. Krishna Kirtan is honoring prasada. Krishna Kirtan is building a temple for Krishna. Krishna Kirtan is going out in book distribution. So everything is Krishna Kirtan. Every form of devotional service is Krishna Kirtan, including building a temple, including dealing with everything, including cleaning the temple, including making garlands. Everything is part of Krishna Kirtan. So Krishna Kirtan is inclusive. Srila Prabhupada said, japa is exclusive. It is not a form that Krishna gets, it is one particular activity done in a particular way. So these two things Srila Prabhupada has given us. Now, one disciple, I would say is transcendentally eccentric. In other words, as all of us, and as all of Srila Prabhupada's disciples also, you know, we all definitely are attached to Srila Prabhupada. Aren't we? Yes or no? Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. So even if we fight amongst ourselves, we all have common attachment for Srila Prabhupada. So this is most important. So similarly, this disciple of Srila Prabhupada, his name is Vishal Prabhu. So he's transcendentally a bit eccentric, not too much, a bit eccentric. So Vishal is a fearless person. Fearless means that, you know, nobody can stop him from walking into Srila Prabhupada's room without knocking at the door, opening the door and going straight up to Srila Prabhupada and asking him whatever he wants. This is Vishal. And he's well known for that in his heart. He was married, you know, he's like a vanaprastha now. His wife's name is Vishalini. Prabhupada gave him a nice name. So one time Vishal was giving Srimad Bhagavatam class in Vrindavan, and you know, Krishna Bhagavatam, and there, and I was there. So after the class, I approached him and I said, Vishal, can you tell me the one thing that struck you most in your association with Srila Prabhupada? He said, yes. He said, one day in Los Angeles, you know, I had this burning questions in my mind. And he said, when I went up to the personal servant who was sitting outside the door, and he wouldn't allow me, so I held him up later and I pushed him aside. He's a bit mid-sized, not tall, built. And I opened the door, and I went in, and Srila Prabhupada was at his desk. And he said, Srila Prabhupada saw me. He was doing something on his desk, and he left that. And he said, yes, Vishal. He said, Srila Prabhupada, I have a question. By that time, the servant was behind him, you know, like flustered. Srila Prabhupada, you know, he pushed his way through. Okay. Vishal, what's your question? So Vishal asked this question that is practically one of the most important questions for us. Now, you know, a very simple devotee, very nice devotee. Like I said, but a little transcendentally eccentric. Srila Prabhupada, he asked, how do you define a devotee in Islam? And how do you define Islam? And how do you define the activities of a devotee in Islam? And how do you define the activities of Islam? Nice question, right? Yeah. And a most important question for us. So Srila Prabhupada looked at him and he answered in six words. Chant Hare Krishna. Spread Hare Krishna. That's Bhagavad Gita. That's the life of a devotee. Other things are incidental, by the way, secondly. Other things like eating, sleeping, mating, defending, working, earning money,
raising the children, trying to educate them. That's all there. It should be there. But it is by the way. It has to be done out of duty. But Srila Prabhupada said, the prime duty of Bhagavad Jivan, the life of a devotee, as he says in this book, chant Hare Krishna, spread Hare Krishna. Now that is the a devotee, that is the activity of a devotee, that is ISKCON, and that is the activity of ISKCON. Proper answer, perfectly, in 6 words. Amazing. Now, a few things on the holy name itself in relation to Srila Prabhupada. Ashwini Prabhu remembers that when he got married and became a householder, he saw that, you know, as a brahmachari living in the temple, it was easier to chant in the morning. So since he got married and there's children, it was a little difficult to do the same thing like that. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, what do I do? You know, like that. And everyone, especially Srila Prabhupada's time and the early 80s also when we joined, everyone will remember their life as a brahmachari and a brahmacharini as the best years of their life. As the best years of their life. Anyone? Some? Yes or no?
Yes.
Ram Vijay?
Yes.
The best years of their life. So Shuddhi Kirti Prabhu was like sort of complaining to himself about himself. You know, Prabhupada, now it's difficult. Wife is dead, children is dead, what to do? Then Srila Prabhupada said, as a householder, you should chant 4 rounds before each meal and 4 rounds before retiring in the evening. In this way, 16 rounds could be chanted without difficulty. And Srila Prabhupada laughed and said, if you don't take prasadam before chanting your 4 rounds, then you will be sure to get them chanted. Your first food should be nutrition for the soul to chant the holy name. Then eat. There are no questions. That's a good instruction for the congregation, right? First chant, then eat. And you know, after you eat, you try to chant, you know what happens. You're going to like Mahavishnu Jhana, you know, Samadhi Jhana. Right. Then another question was asked to Srila Prabhupada. You know, what if I feel very tired, but I still have to chant my japa? And Srila Prabhupada said, if I get tired, I walk and chant. But not in the park, not on the road. Srila Prabhupada said, when I am tired, then I walk and chant. And sometimes if I'm tired, I pace back and forth in the room, you know, and I chant. And Srila Prabhupada said, simply in one room, you can do everything. If you are tired, you can stand up and chant like I do. In other words, people say, I'm tired, I cannot chant. But you got to chant. You got to chant, you got to do your job. This is in relation to job. One time, one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada about certain rules in regards to Akadashi following Chaturmas, you know, the 4 months of the rainy season. And Srila Prabhupada said, my disciples, they cannot even chant the 16 rounds nicely and follow the four principles nicely. Why are you concerned about all these rituals for Ekadashi and Chaturmas? First you chant all your rounds and follow the principles. Just do that. So one day, one brahmachari, it happened in Prabhupada's days, I mean, a so-called brahmachari, trying to be. He had a fall down, that means he had some illicit activity with a woman. He had a fall down. So Srila Prabhupada heard of him, and he called for him. But when he came to see Srila Prabhupada, he changed his saffron cloak to white. Because you just fall, you know, you just commit some illicit activity, you can't just wear saffron, you can't be spiritual. So first he was a change of cloth, so he wore white. So when he came to Srila Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada said, what happened? So he explained, not how he fell down, he explained that Srila Prabhupada, perhaps, you know, I should get married. Then Srila Prabhupada said, marriage? Why do you think marriage is going to solve your difficulties? You should chant, just chant Hare Krishna, chant your 16 rounds. So like this, there were many times that devotees, they went into Srila Prabhupada's room with a problem, and they're hoping that, you know, he will solve the problem with a particular arrangement. But his solution is always the same. Chant Hare Krishna, chant your 16 rounds. And one time he told one disciple, and he looked in his face and he said, do it! And the disciple said, that entered my mind, and up to today I'm still doing it. Very fun. Marriage may be there, being a brahmachari may be there, being a sannyasi may be there, being a guru may be there, being a GBC may be there, being a head pujari may be there, you know, being a mother may be there, being a father may be there, but that may be there. The most important thing is not the secondary activities of your prescribed duties which you should be doing and not being responsible also. The most important thing is to nicely chant our japa and to follow the following of the principles. Srila Prabhupada told the disciple, I can see that you're having a difficulty with your mind while you're chanting. So the disciple said, what should I do? Srila Prabhupada said, just chant a bit loudly. You should be louder than your mind. And then come back to your mama. A volume of chanting, you know, normal. You can say longer. Chant a bit louder. Louder than you want. Very, very important. Now the mission of Krishna consciousness. One disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, how do we get the mercy of Lord and Nityananda? And Srila Prabhupada said that you should approach Radha and Krishna. In other words, how do we approach Radha and Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada said you should get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And the disciple asked, how do we get Lord Chaitanya's mercy? Like that. And he said, you get Lord Nityananda's mercy. And then Srila Prabhupada, and then they asked, how do we get Lord Nityananda's mercy? Srila Prabhupada said, oh, then you should approach people like Jagai and Madai and ask them, please chant Hare Krishna. And he said, that's what I did. I came here and I approached people who were like Jagai and Madai, please chant Hare Krishna. So later on, the disciple approached Srila Prabhupada. But you are telling us to preach. In order to approach people like Jagai and Manai and tell them to chant Hare Krishna, we have to get your mercy. Talk Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, and that is the duty of the disciple to feel that way. He didn't put himself, you know, that yes, my mercy. That is the duty of the disciple, to feel that. Just see his humility. He felt he wasn't qualified to be guru, to be spiritual master. It's Prabhupada. Amazing person. Such humility. Another time, one disciple approached Srila Prabhupada and he said, Srila Prabhupada, you know, you always say everything, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Everything, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Even in the verse as well, Krishna, you put Krishna in the book. And even you include Krishna in the word for word translation. Just to emphasize, everything, the end result is Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, yes. You know, Sadvasta Chaha, Ridai Sada Vishnu, Matya Smiti Gyana, Bhapamanam Chaha. Vedas is not that. Aham eva vedya, vedantakri, vedakri, eva chaha. Then Srila Prabhupada said, yes, what can I do? You know, Krishna himself is saying that the end of Vedanta is himself, is Krishna. And the goal of the Vedas is Krishna. And the compiler of the Vedas is the Krishna. Everything ends in Krishna. So then Srila Prabhupada asked, what's your actual question? Because he could see that the disciple didn't complete his question. Then the disciple said, Srila Prabhupada, you say everything Krishna, 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 and you gave evidence from Bhagavad Gita. You know, Vedas is Sarpaya, Eva Vedya, Vedantika, Veda, Veda, Eva Chakra. Then the disciple said, Srila Prabhupada, where do you fit in? If everything is Krishna, 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 where do you fit in? Without you, we will not know Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada bowed his head down and he said, Krishna includes his associates and Krishna includes the disciplined succession. Very humble. Very humble. Amazing person. Always giving credit to his spiritual master. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now, just we have time. Okay. Just one last anecdote about Srila Prabhupada. Not two. We know that the original spiritual master is Balarama, or Lord Nityananda. And Srila Prabhupada said that the spiritual master fulfills two functions. He said that the spiritual master gives knowledge of God, or Krishna, and the spiritual master also serves God, or Krishna. That's his two functions. So once in Calcutta, Srila Prabhupada, he asked the disciples a question. And Srila Prabhupada asked the disciples, what is the duty of the spiritual master and what is the duty of the disciple? So different devotees gave very different answers. So they saw that Srila Prabhupada wanted to give his own answer. And Srila Prabhupada gave the answer, very simple. He said that the duty of the spiritual master is to serve Krishna and the duty of the disciple is to assist him. For example, every morning we sing Shri Vigrahara Dana Nityanara
Shringaratal Mandira Manjanadam.
That means the spiritual master is responsible to serve Krishna in the form of the deity, but the disciple is responsible to assist the spiritual master in that service to the deity. And part of the responsibility is not just the deity worship, is a Shringaratal Mandira Manjanadam, is to also clean the temple. That's part of deity worship. Is to also clean the gardens, you know, clean the outside. It's all part of deity worship.
So one time, Srila Prabhupada, he came down from his room into the temple room, and he saw one of his disciples, Mataji. And she never spoke to Srila Prabhupada. She was always like shy, not to go in front of him and so on. She never spoke to Srila Prabhupada. In fact, she got initiated by Srila Prabhupada, you know, like through one of his disciples during the fire yagya, and he sent the beads and he sent the name. You understand that? Prabhupada also initiated people. You know, like he gave the beads and he sent the name, and then they hold a fire yagya, and one of the leaders does the fire yagya, and Srila Prabhupada said, you must give the name and the beads that you reach. They are disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So she never really spoke to Srila Prabhupada, but she was initiated by him to this way. So Srila Prabhupada came down from his room, and he came into the temple room with his servants and secretaries, and he was going out through the temple room to the car. And in the temple room, the deity's darshan was closed. It was the afternoon and so forth. So the Mataji is a dear disciple who never ever spoke to him. She was cleaning the floor. And you know what's the best way to clean the floor? It's not with a mop. You go down on your knees and you clean with the cloth. So she was doing that. She was cleaning the temple room floor. So Srila Prabhupada noticed her. So he walked towards her, and like some part of the floor was a little, you know, slippery, a little wet. But he walked through that. And he went right to her and he kneeled down. And she knew he was there, but she was like, you know, completely nervous. Completely not sure Prabhupada is kneeling down to me, and I'm on the floor. She offered obeisance for that, you know, on the floor. So he just came right down to her, and he whispered to her without anyone else hearing. Anyone else hearing. He said, thank you for cleaning my heart. This is the only words he spoke to this disciple. And he got up and he walked. Of course, the other ones want to know what Prabhupada said. She didn't say. For years, she didn't say it. She couldn't believe it. She couldn't believe it. That she is cleaning the floor like that. And Prabhupada said that you are cleaning my heart. In other words, that's how dear Srila Prabhupada is to his disciples. And that's how dear they are in assisting Srila Prabhupada and his service to worship the deity. Sri Vigrahara Dhananitana Shringaratama Dhinamajana. So she said this verse. She said, when he said that, this verse came. And up to today, she's cleaning the floor of the temple. Her own temple and her own home, she cleans the floor. Only years later, she said this in, you know, in Vrindavan. Years later, frankly, 10 years ago. She never told anybody. It's such a, just one simple exchange. It's like a mantra entering into a year and into the heart. And then she realized that this personality is not only humble, but it's a humbling experience to be in this association and hear from him. She remembered. She was saying so many things just for these few words that Prabhupada said, thank you for cleaning my heart. So therefore, it is most important that we, even myself, I'm speaking to myself, that we should humbly serve Srila Prabhupada and humbly serve Srila Prabhupada's devotees in ISKCON and humbly serve the mission of ISKCON of making people to Krishna consciousness. Something more you want to hear? Is that okay? Srila Prabhupada was staying in a home in Mumbai, Bombay. This wealthy man, very pious, very, very cultured. His name was Mr. Kartikeya Mahadev. So Srila Prabhupada was staying in his home. We didn't have a place to stay in Mumbai in the early 70s. So Srila Prabhupada received a phone call from the temple president in our Calcutta temple. And he informed Srila Prabhupada that one of his oldest disciples, you know, there was one of his very early disciples, like that, he's experiencing some difficulty right here in India, in Calcutta, and he was smoking ganja. What's the other word? Marijuana. So Srila Prabhupada told the temple president, you tell him, always one of my oldest disciples, that if he doesn't stop smoking ganja, I will reject him immediately. That's heavy from Srila Prabhupada. So after Srila Prabhupada got off the phone, Tamakrishna Goswami was hearing this. Prabhupada saying this on the phone, and he never said that before. Never ever said that before, rejecting somebody. So Tamakrishna Goswami, you know, he's a bold person. He can speak boldly with Srila Prabhupada. He said, Srila Prabhupada, is it true that you will reject him if he doesn't stop smoking ganja? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, I cannot reject anyone. Then Tamakrishna Goswami questioned Srila Prabhupada. He said, but Srila Prabhupada, don't you have to draw the line somewhere? Is there not some limit? And then Srila Prabhupada said, no. The mercy of Lord Nityananda is unlimited. You know, this old disciple of Prabhupada was only smoking ganja. You know what jagaya and manaya would do? It was worse than ganja. So this is his divine grace, I say, Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada, that he never rejected anyone. But it doesn't mean that you should go on smoking ganja. It doesn't mean you should go on drinking liquor. Or go on having illicit activity and eating meat. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. And another time, Srila Prabhupada, one disciple was repeatedly coming back, leaving, coming back, leaving, coming back, leaving, coming back, leaving. Maybe 10, 15. So one of his leading disciples said, Srila Prabhupada, you know, we are really fed up of him. You know, he comes back, he stays, he chants, he follows nicely, then
coming back, he may be leaving, maybe coming back, maybe leaving, maybe coming back, maybe leaving. But he said, one thing I did not hear about him. At least he's not eating meat. At least he's not eating meat. In other words, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he keeps the connection. He keeps the connection. He doesn't give up. They may not even be a disciple. They may not even be acting as a disciple. Because disciple means to be disciplined. You follow Master. That's disciple. But they may not even be that type of disciple who follows the four ethical principles. Right. So that, you know, this was going on. Many disciples were being initiated, leaving, and so forth. So another leader said, you know, Prabhupada, you know, it's too much because you are getting sick and you're suffering. He took on this karma like anything. Even Krishna will not take that karma, but he takes the reaction. Then he said, yes. He told us. He said, Krishna excuses. Krishna excuses once, excuses twice, excuses thrice, but not more than that. Not more than that. He gives you three chances. Once, twice, thrice. That's it. Not more than that. Then the disciple asks, but Srila Prabhupada, that's Krishna. And you? Srila Prabhupada didn't answer, did not reply, did not respond at all. So the mercy of the devotee, the mercy of Krishna only follows the mercy of the pure devotee. Krishna will not give his mercy. The mercy of Krishna only follows the mercy of a pure devotee. And then later on, Srila Prabhupada gave an anecdote of some conversation between Radha and Krishna. Amazing. You won't find it in scripture, but you know, he's speaking. His consciousness is Prabhupada's consciousness. So he said one time, this was on the occasion of Radha Astami, he gave this talk. He said, you know, one time Krishna, you know, told Srimati Radharani, you know, if these people don't follow nicely, I will not accept. Something to that effect, he was saying. So Radharani told Krishna, that fool there is rascal number one. Krishna said, yes, I know he's rascal number one. And he will never come to me. So Radharani told Krishna, but I want him to come back to you. So Krishna said, if you want him back, then I will accept it. Literally, Srila Prabhupada was saying that he is the sum total of Ladini Shakti personified. Because through the disciplic succession, the Ladini Shakti, which is non different from the personification form of Srimati Radharani, enters into the heart of the disciplic succession and comes all the way down into the heart of the spiritual master. So Prabhupada was indirectly saying how the Ladini Shakti works. Radharani is more merciful than Krishna. And the spiritual master is the manifestation of Srimati Radharani's compassion. And therefore one time Srila Prabhupada says, and he also says that in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that the compassionate nature of Krishna is Srimati Radharani, which is the compassionate nature of the spiritual master.
Alright, Shriniketan Prabhu, would like to add to something, please? Let's go to the microphone. Won't go there. Tell us some words of wisdom and inspiration. Shriniketan, there's no microphone. Please. Bring one chair, maybe I can come sit here. Come. Bring a chair. Quickly, quickly. You'll take this microphone. Speak from the brain.
Yeah, you just caught me left foot.
So I can hear the air from here. From. You wanted to speak, right? Say Haribo.
Haribo.
If he speaks in English, it's for my benefit, right?
Okay, I mean, we are very grateful for Maharaj to enlighten us so much what you know, which we have not yet had the opportunity to hear because Maharaj is traveling all over the world and associating with many, many devotees. He gets all this information, which is rather confidential.
Yeah, confidential.
All these quotations regarding Srila Prabhupada, some of them are known in general, some are not. So this is of great help to us to understand Srila Prabhupada, how insanely merciful he is. I mean, you know, what you mentioned is like, you know, incredible. It's almost unbelievable that someone can be so kind and merciful to his disciples. For this, because we're never up to the mark. You never think we're up to the mark. Therefore, we are in need of all this mercy. Otherwise, how are we going to go on? It's just not possible. The material world is so difficult to manage. It's difficult to manage to survive in Krishna consciousness in this material world unless we have the mercy of the spiritual master. It's just impossible. It's impossible. So, Maharaj is himself a perfect example.
I'm not sure.
I'm just telling you why. He was initiated first time by a spiritual master who left ISKCON, fell down, who disappointed hundreds and hundreds of his disciples. And it
3,000.
And it was a terrible, difficult period for all the devotees, including those who were not in shape back then, and including the Prabhupada disciples. So Maharaj, he somehow or other, because he was sincere, while doing his service, the grandfather spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he protected him from the waves of the material energy. And he made him come back into spiritual life again, in the sense that he found another spiritual master, and now look who we have here sitting next to us, very humble and meekly, without any big profile. He's a notion of knowledge, he's a notion of inspiration, and he's a real comeback kid. Because many of the disciples are left. Those who have lost the spiritual master have left. It was a very difficult period for them. And they couldn't make it. So when we connect, I mean that's the whole issue now in ISKCON, is that we all have to be strongly connected to Srila Prabhupada through our present spiritual master. And the spiritual master, our spiritual master, he has to be transparent via medium. It's a big word. Transparent via medium means through our spiritual master, we have to be able to see and to link up to the Lord. If the spiritual master is not transparent, and how are we going to connect to Srila Prabhupada? So, I think, you know, this nectarine katha that Maharaj gave us should enliven us and should inspire us to actually go through our spiritual master to Srila Prabhupada's feet. Because there's no other alternative. There's no other alternative because he is the supreme of all these spiritual masters. He may be a guru just like our spiritual master is a guru, but it's way different. So if ISKCON is to survive,